Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Literature and Spirituality podcast number 41. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. Literature is defined as imaginative or creative writing, especially of recognized artistic value. And by the way, there are some people who can just flat write. It's a gift from God. Spirituality is defined as the quality or state of being concerned with faith, God, Jesus, religion, or religious matters. The purpose of this podcast is to examine how these two subjects intersect with one another and how they relate to our lives. We were using a book as a guide from two prominent professors at Liberty University, and we're no longer using that book as a guide right now. However, starting next week, we will be sharing more excerpts from that book to help guide us along. Our passage from the Word of God today is Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, which reads, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." I cannot emphasize to you the importance, dear friend, of reading the Bible first. It is beyond literature, of course. It is in the realm of spirituality, big time. It will change your life. It will transform your life if you let it. So read the Bible first and let the Bible guide your life, not literature. Pardon me, use literature for illustration's sake to make the point of the Bible clear in these times of confusion, to make a connection, to make a bridge. And if you are an evangelist, you know how to do that. But if you're not an evangelist and you're a pastor or a regular Christian, you don't have a gift necessarily to get that bridge going from the Bible and using things that people can identify with as illustrations to make a connection. And so if you read the Bible first and have the purpose of sharing the gospel with lost people, or trying to help some young Christian get along in the Christian life, sometimes you can get a bridge going to the hearts of those people by using something they're familiar with in this world, such as literature. Well, be that as it may, our quote for today is from Stendhal. He said, "A good book is an event in my life." Beloved, in this podcast, we are reading the Confessions of Saint Augustine. This is part 5 of book 1. My baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, is the producer of this podcast, and I think he likes St. Augustine because he is long-winded with him, and he makes me long-winded. So bear with us as we continue. Passing hence from infancy, I came to boyhood, or rather it came to me, displacing infancy, nor did that depart, for whither went it? And yet it was no more. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to interrupt here. And I'm just, you know, I like keeping things real. This is a serious piece of literature and work that has been with us for many years. But I will be upfront with you and honest with you. Sometimes St. Augustine gives me the giggles, okay, in his writing. I got the giggles last week, and I'm starting to get the giggles again on certain things. So bear with me. I cannot explain that to you. I don't know why, but he does in his writing style and some of the things that he says, okay? So forgive me if that offends you. And if I burst out laughing, that's just me. You don't have to do it. And by the way, even though he quotes a lot of the Bible, this is not the Bible. So I don't get the giggles when I read the Word of God, the Bible now. But I do with some of the things that St. Augustine says. And that's okay. We ought to get that from literature, from human beings every now and then, because we're not perfect, are we? Nor did that depart, he said, for whither went it? And yet it was no more, for I was no longer a speechless infant, but a speaking boy. And see here, I would say, in my mind, what's going on in my mind is, well, that's obvious. Okay, so that's I'm a human being, so these things are going to come across my mind, and if you were reading it, it'll come across your mind, and some other things will come across your mind, so just chill out. He said, this I remember, and have since observed how I learned to speak. It was not that my elders taught me words as soon after other learning in any set method, but I, longing by cries and broken accents and various motions of my limbs to express my thoughts, that so I might have my will, and yet unable to express all I willed, or to whom I willed, did myself by the understanding which thou, my God, gavest me, practice the sounds in my memory. When they named anything, and as they spoke, turned towards it, I saw and remembered that they called what they would point out by the name they uttered, and that they meant this thing and no other was plain from the motion of their body, the natural language, as it were, of all nations, expressed by the countenance, glances of the eye, gestures of the limbs, and tones of the voice, indicating the affections of the mind as it pursues, possesses, rejects, or shuns. See, here at this point, my mind is saying, I don't remember any of this when I was a young boy. And that I could not break it down like that, like St. Augustine is breaking it down to us. And so he was far more extraordinary than I was as a kid, as a child. Anyway, I continue. And thus, by constantly hearing words as they occurred in various sentences, I collected gradually for what they stood, and having broken in my mouth to these signs, I thereby gave utterance to my will. Thus I exchanged with those about me these current signs of our wills, and so launched deeper into the stormy intercourse of human life, yet depending on parental authority and the beck of elders. And here again, I don't recall any storminess as far as intercourse, verbal intercourse with those around me when I was a child. But apparently he remembers that. And so he continues, O God, my God, what miseries and mockeries did I now experience when obedience to my teachers was proposed to me as proper in a boy, in order that in this world I might prosper and excel in tongue science, which should serve to the praise of men and to deceitful riches. Next, I was put to school to get learning, in which I, poor wretch, knew not what use there was. And yet, if idle in learning, I was beaten for this. Now, I do remember some butt whippings growing up by my mother. My father never whipped us for some reason. But it had to be very bad for my mother to whip us. It was never really for schoolwork. It was other things that she would not tolerate. Anyway, for this was judged, he said, right by our forefathers, and many passing the same course before us, framed for us weary paths through which we were fain to pass, multiplying toil and grief upon the sons of Adam. But, Lord, we found that men called upon thee, and we learnt from them to think of thee according to our powers, as of some great one who, though hidden from our senses, couldest hear and help us. For so I began as a boy to pray to thee, my aid and refuge, and broke the fetters of my tongue to call on thee, praying thee, though small, yet with no small earnestness, that I might not be beaten at school. And when thou heardest me not, not thereby giving me over to folly, my elders, yea, my very parents, who yet wished me no ill, mocked my stripes, my then great and grievous ill. Is there, Lord, any of soul so great, and cleaving to thee with so intense affection, for a sort of stupidity will in a way do it? But is there any one who, from cleaving devoutly to thee, is endued with so great a spirit that he can think as lightly of the racks and hooks and other torments against which throughout all lands men call on thee with extreme dread, mocking at those by whom they are feared most bitterly, as our parents mocked the torments which we suffered in boyhood from our masters? For we feared not our torments less, nor prayed we less to thee to escape them, and yet we sinned in writing or reading or studying less than was exacted of us. For we wanted not, O Lord, memory or capacity, whereof they will gave enough, whereof thy will rather gave enough for our age, but our sole delight was play. And for this we were punished by those who yet themselves were doing the like. But elder folks' idleness, elder folks' idleness is called business. That of boys being really the same is punished by those elders. No wonder my son, my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel, loves the writing of St. Augustine. And none commiserates either boys or men, for will any of sound discretion approve of my being beaten as a boy, because by playing a ball I made less progress in studies which I was to learn? Only that as a man I might play more unbeseemingly. And what else did he who beat me, who, if worsted in some trifling discussion with his fellow tutor, was more embittered and jealous than I when beaten at ball by a playfellow? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we will continue reading the Confessions of St. Augustine in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. Lord, we pray that you will help preachers, pastors, communicators, people who speak to other people in meetings, who lead others, Christian servants in your church, teaching classes and helping others on an individual basis. Lord, help them to fill their hearts and minds, souls and spirits with your holy word, and to also use their education and their knowledge of literature and knowledge of other things to make a bridge. That's what an illustration is for us, to make a bridge with people, to get something familiar that they can connect to and get it over and get them over the bridge to spirituality and to salvation and to Christian discipleship as your great servants, Lord, and more importantly, you yourself, Lord Jesus, used so greatly and so powerfully when you were here, and your great servants such as Paul did as well, to get the point across, and that is to get the gospel across to them and to see people saved. And we thank you for information, knowledge, and literature that we can get the point across to people better. Help us to use it for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, influential English writer, poet, and professor J.R.R. Tolkien said, "There is a place called heaven where the good here unfinished is completed, and where the stories unwritten and the hopes unfulfilled are continued. If you wish to go to this place called heaven one day, let me show you how you can do that. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws at some point in your life, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news, I know, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you.